All right, I'm going to just, for anybody who might be new, we do use the Rotherham Bible, and it is available in a couple different places. You can go to Christian Book or Amazon.com. Also, I reference anybody who is new or people who have watched before to Telios Ministries website, and it just has a so many wonderful links that can answer a lot of questions and can build on something. Telios means to become matured, to be fully grown, and so that is the whole point, is to not be babes, to work ourselves up to what Christ has called us to be. The address there, you can see that here. This is what the page looks like. So when you go to it, it also has a lot of stuff right here on the front page for the Rotherham, where you can look at that and open it up and follow along as we go. I do recommend you get your own, but it does cover you until you do. Okay, tonight I'm going to do a little bit of sharing here, and it's not going to be on what I'm starting with, so a little bit of trickery here. But it's dimensions. Okay, I thought this was kind of neat, something that I've been looking at and came across with a couple books and stuff that I've been reading, and thought it was pretty cool. When we look at dimensions, what is a dimension and how many are there? Okay, now people will be like, well, duh, there's three dimensions. You know, you have length, width, height. Okay, three-dimensional. That's what we see. That's what we know. Okay, and I'm going to beg to differ that there's a lot more than that. Okay, for one, they say that time is the fourth dimension. So if you have the exact coordinates of something, say, in space and a time, now you have four dimensions. Okay, now, what we see is we can kind of even grasp the time dimension. We can kind of grasp that. Okay, well, we look back and we say that time was this. Was there ever a point where there was no time? Well, our brains can't comprehend that. We're like going, wait, that's impossible. Well, it's not. It's not impossible. The other thing is, when you look at that, the heavenly host that is right now, where are they? Do they have to move out of the way of satellites when satellites orbit, things like that? No. Okay, this is a completely different dimension. When Elisha, his servant, remember when his servant, Elisha said, show him. And he saw the heavenly host. He saw the whole army. Now, what did he see? It was something outside of these four dimensions. And so when we see this, we have to understand that when we use our own rationale, and that's what makes me laugh about people who are like going, well, no, I can't see it, therefore how can it be? Well, okay, so you know, that's, you really limit yourself how closed-minded a person becomes at that point. That there's so many dimensions that we look at this that our mind doesn't comprehend it, but what happened when the earth stood still, when the sun stood still for a day? Is that feasible? Not by a scientist out there, they're telling you, not going to happen. Time stood still. Okay, so was time stopped? Yes, time was stopped for that period of time. And so when we look at dimensions, the dimensions are pretty neat, because what it should do is we should look outside of our own understanding to realize that there is a ton of things that we may just not grasp. And so we look at everything on a three-dimensional realm. There's a bunch more. And so scientists now are saying that they think there's maybe 10 dimensions. Wow. But none of those include future paradise, things of now where Yahweh is sitting with Christ. Okay, none of those are part of those dimensions that they talk about and look at. But within the different galaxies and whatnot, that they talk about different dimensions. And time, the time variation of that, how that changes. And so it's really neat. As I was going through some of these, the books that I'm reading, one of them that was really neat is they said that the moon, when it eclipses the sun, is the exact size to do it. If it was any bigger or any smaller, it would not do it. It has to be the exact size and the exact distance for it to eclipse it. Otherwise, it would completely block it out, or it wouldn't eclipse it. There'd be so much coming around it, and it's the exact same size. And so that's how they discovered that light bent around things, is through that. And so you see this where Yahweh's like going, here, I'm going to throw him a little, watch this, this will be cool. Who's watching? Who's ready to see this? And so there's so many cool things with that. But anyways, this is some of the stuff I've been going through in the book. And I thought it was pretty neat, because it opens up so that we quit looking into our own understanding, because our own understanding blocks our faith. And we're like, oh, how can you move a mountain? I hear believers saying that. How can I move a mountain? You know, Yahweh spoke a mountain. He spoke a lot of mountains. Okay, and what are we supposed to be doing? So our mind says, well, we can't, that's just impossible. I can't throw this mountain into the ocean. Well, that's correct. With that attitude, you can't. But when we look outside those dimensions, about outside of our normal of what is there and what took place, we can do that. And so as we start expanding out, saying, hey, in these other dimensions, Yahweh's got all these things in order that we are not accustomed to, but are available, are absolutely available. And he has created us that we may be able to do these things. And guess what? When somebody says, hey, let me in. I want to do some of those cool things, those, you know, magnificent things. He's like, thank you. I've been waiting for the person to call out and say, I'll do it. Everybody else is like, oh, well, you can't do that. And so that's where we have to kind of outside that, break outside that three-dimensional spectrum and see things or how they are and be like Elisha did. Show him. Show my servant what's there. And they open up their eyes. Holy cow! So that's where we have to look at it as well and kind of expand out. Anyways, this is not the teaching. It was just a fun little point. Okay, the story of the two lumberjacks here. A little sharing here tonight. Two lumberjacks. There was an older lumberjack and a younger guy, and they had a little competition of who could chop the most wood. And so I said, we'll go for an 8-hour period throughout the day, and we'll chop down as much wood as we can. Whoever ends up with most at the end of the day wins. So they got started, and the younger guy just went to town. He's like, going, I'm going to bypass all breaks. I don't need to eat lunch. I'll just keep going and keep going and going. And so every now and then he'd be sweating, and he'd look over, and he'd see the older guy, and he'd be sitting down, taking a little break. And at the end of the day, it turns out the younger guy had cut down less wood than the older guy. And he goes, man, I don't understand it. How did you do that? I saw you taking breaks. I saw you taking lunch. And the old guy goes, I was, but I was sharpening my axe. Huh. The whole point of what I'm sharing tonight is rest, yoke, yoked, properly yoked, proper rest, and effective time use. Okay. So anyways, starting here, optimizing rest. So when we look at that, we do have a limited time during the day of things that we can and can't do. And so to optimize ourselves to where we're like going, making good use of it. This I thought was a kind of a neat thing I found here, and it's an Association for Psychological Science, and it says, rest is not idleness, and reflection is critical for development and well-being. And it requires that if a person runs themselves so far, they can burn out. And so as part of it, even in the beginning, and it says farther into this, but even in the beginning, Yahweh created. Okay, he made the seventh day. What happened? He rested. Mm-hmm. Guess what there was at that time? There were no people. People came after that. Adam was after that. Yahweh created the seventh day. He sanctified and he made that as a rest point for himself. I'm like, okay, that's a good point for us to look at as well. Not saying that we have to keep the seventh day, the Sabbath holy. I'm saying that to take the rest. The rest is important as well. Not having enough rest does a couple of things. For one, and I'm going to show how these all kind of fit in together, become cranky, agitated, and short-tempered. And what happens at that point now? You do these things, you lash out, and then you feel guilty. I shouldn't have done that. Okay, number two, you take on tasks or commitments that you should have said no to. Somebody asks you to go do something, and yeah, okay, I'll go do that. Now you committed to it. Now you're like going, golly, I shouldn't have done that. I got so much stuff to do, and now I feel guilty for not doing all those things that I should have been doing. And the third one is you end up saying no to tasks and commitments that we should have said yes to. Because now by this point, you're burned out, you're tired, I don't care. This time I'm going to take some time off. And those are the things where you should have gone and done them, where the second ones, you should have kind of sacrificed those. And that's what's just the time management is, to figure out what exactly is important and to be able to maximize those. In 1960, this was a Time magazine thing that I found. Expert testimony was given to a Senate subcommittee on time management. Yeah, that, first of all, that's kind of a funny thing there, an expert Senate subcommittee there. They predicted that advances in technology would radically change how many hours a week people work. They forecasted that the average American would be working 22 hours a week within 20 years. Okay, granted, that's 1980. The great challenge, the expert said, would be figuring out what to do with all the excess time. Over 50 years later, after major advances in technology, how many of us are wondering what to do with all the excess time in our hands? Okay, people don't work 40-hour weeks. People work more than that in a lot of cases, but you're busy. It's time. There's always something to do about it. And so I think about that, too, that we have things, the kids, when they have those little electronic pets that we got in Japan, and they required attention. And so you'd have to constantly keep taking care of them. Well, I think the same way with our phones, with our, you know, tablets. With I knew a guy when I was in the Air Force that ran a blog for, you know, a special operations thing. And it ate up his time. And he felt committed. Yeah, I got to go home and answer all the stuff on there. And it became, he had to babysit this thing. And I'm like going, man, this is time to pull some of the plugs on that, or say, hey, this is how much I'll do a week. But the same way, we have not, this was in the 60s, here we are, you know, 50 plus years later, and we're more busy than before. So as we look at it with our lives and we start getting run down, think of it, I've had it, I just can't take it anymore. I'm so frustrated because I am worn down. I'm ready to throw in. I'm at the end of my, I'm just a bundle of, my life is falling. Okay, the rat race, and this one I like. It kind of makes me laugh here. Just when you thought you were getting ahead, along come faster rats. Okay, and that's exactly it. The competition is always there. Competition is not necessarily bad, but what it does, it drives us now to where we may have to work harder. Okay, but remember, he who wins the rat race is still a rat. Okay, let's start off in Psalms 127. Psalms 127, verses 1 and 2, page 597, top right. And this is great here. 597, top right. If Yahweh built not the house, in vain have the builders of it toiled thereon. If Yahweh watched not the city, in vain have the watchmen kept awake. Vain for you to be early in rising, to be late in lying down, to be eating the bread of wearisome toil. So would he give his beloved one sleep, or give us sleep. Okay? In other words, what's happening is, if your busy work is not something that Yahweh is calling you to do, or the things that are outside of that, then it's in vain. It's like I think about that guy with the webpage. Okay, it was eating him. It was stealing away from his family time. And I'm like going, stop. You got to stop that. Yeah, it's a cool thing, but you got to just cut that. Get rid of it. Three types of rest. Physical rest, and all these are important, can be with just a nap. It's something that can be a short time, or something where you toil and you labored, you're tired, you're worn down. Emotional could be just from a vacation. It's a build-up where it's happened over and over and over again, and now you're just like going, something's got to break here. I've got to disconnect for a while. And we do. We do have to disconnect. And the third one is spiritual rest. And this is via Christ in a relationship with Yahweh. And this is where we're going to really kind of focus on here, is this third one. We just went over that. Yahweh rests on the seventh day. Let's go to Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. And if somebody would read that on page 11.
Come unto me, all ye that toil and are burdened. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, because meek am I and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden light.
That's that. That's exactly it. And so at the beginning of that, in verse 28, where you go to that a couple times there, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Okay? And that's the big one. And so the rest here that we're looking at is, we're going to see here the yoke, and we're going to go over it. The yoke is the main focus of things. And so Aaron last week did a teaching about the masters, okay? That you're going to be serving one of those, okay? I'm going to piggyback off that. Every single person has a yoke. You have a yoke. Who you're yoked with or what you're yoked to is going to vary, okay? But you are yoked to something. As somebody said, I think about that with somebody goes to work. Well, you have to wear, it was a movie where a guy had to wear a silly little, pirate hat as he worked at a fast food restaurant. Okay, and he's like, I'm not wearing that. Okay, well, then you can't work here. Well, you're yoked to that. It is a requirement that you, this is part of it. Well, I don't want to do it. I'm not going to do that. Well, then, okay, don't. We'll see you later. Hit the road. It happens that way with many things. We're yoked with people, with business, with spouses, with children, with our walk with Yahweh and with Christ. And so being yoked, normally what people will think about when yoked, in the word, it will refer to a couple different things. A yoke can be two. It can be two things. with something that controls the driving force of them. Or it can be one. It can be they have single yokes. There's lots of times where you'd have a team of oxen, and they may be double, double, double. You could also have other times where you'd have one, 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 but they'd all be yoke, and they'd all be connected together, but under a single yoke for each one. And so when we look at this, I'm not saying that you're necessarily yoked it with something physical, but somebody is controlling the reins and the driving of that. What is holding you and making you go in those directions? And that's what we're talking about here. Looking at the yoke. It means to join or for service. And this is it. This is the word here. You see yoke that is put on, draw cattle, you can say a metaphor here, used to burden or bondage. We're going to look at the uses of yoke in here. And the yoke is not a bad thing because you are serving somebody. You, just like Aaron said, you are, something is your master. Okay? Well, whatever that master is who you are yoked to. And if you're not yoked to that, or you think you're not yoked to it, well, you leave that, if you think of the double yoking, and you're in one side, well, I'm not going to have anything, I'm not going to be in it. Well, what's going to be in the other side? What's going to fill that void? Okay, what's going to fill it is if you're not calling it for Christ or Yahweh to be filling that, it's going to be filled by the things of the world. And so, yes, you are still going to be yoked. You might not think you are, but it's the same way. You are going to have that. And so how we submit as to the master, to be driven by the master, is the exact same thing as what Aaron was talking about last week. In the theological dictionary of the New Testament here, in Matthew 11:29, Jesus, and this is a pretty neat yoke, Jesus invites those who labor and are heavy laden to take this easy yoke upon them. The paradox, how can a yoke be easy, vanishes when one considers that this is the yoke of the Messiah, who offers free access to Yahweh of all who accept his call. Parallel rabbinic sayings refer to the putting off of the yoke of the government by acceptance of the yoke of the law. See, and this is where it's important. You're trading what's in the yoke for something else, but the yoke's there. Mm-hmm. So regardless of what you say, I'm going to trade in this yoke for this yoke, but I'm going to have a yoke. So what he's saying, again, parallel rabbinic sayings refer to putting off the yoke of government by acceptance of the yoke of the law, or by coming under the yoke of earthly rule by breaking the yoke of heaven. But in the distinction of human achievement is here proposed, though the divine yoke is regarded as a privilege rather than a burden, and that the yoke of Christ does not stand in such absolute antithesis to that of earthly government. And so one way or another, you have the yoke. And so Adam and Eve, when they broke it, they traded that yoke. Okay, they traded it off, if you want to look at it that way. And that's the same way that you see with governments. So you saw that with Israel, Judah, that they traded it. They went from Yahweh's yoke to the governmental yoke, or the people's, or the sin nature. To be yoked. So what does it mean? Well, we kind of covered it here. To say to you, a person could say, I'm going to refuse to submit. Okay, I'm gonna go outside. I don't even want to close. Okay, well, you're gonna cause a scene. You know, like going around. That's putting on those things and subjecting yourself. Everybody will do it to a certain extent. And so when we're looking at how do we say we were going to be yoked, and that's not a bad thing. Well, Christ tells us that. Hey, be yoked. Take my yoke, for it's light. Because what you have is the heavy yoke. The earth is the heavy yoke. The yoke of man or the yoke of Yahweh and Yahushua. The two yokes, servitude and bondage. And this is where we kind of look at them. I'm going to go through some of the scriptures here that refer to this. So in Galatians 5:1, and you don't have to go here, so I'm going to show you a few of them here. We're looking at this here, the first of two yokes. The first one is the yoke you don't want. Okay, this is the yoke that's coming on, that's the burdensome yoke. All right, they're, both yokes can be referred to as servitude, because when you have a yoke, something is your master, one way or the other. Stand fast, therefore, and do not again with the yoke of servitude be held fast. Because what was happening is they were trying to put the laws back down where the laws had been changed. Okay, and so the laws are coming back in to hold it down. Well, do we see that in the church today? Yeah, absolutely. That the law's coming. Wait a minute. People aren't manifesting. Well, why? Well, because that all went out. No, it didn't. Okay, so this is what happened. Don't put those yokes back on that with servitude. These are the negative ones. Slavery. In Matthew 23:4, but they bind together heavy burdens and lay upon men's shoulders, whereas they with their fingers are not willing to move them. Okay, this is where you see, holy cow, I think about that with the government now, where they want to mandate and dictate all these things that they refuse to be part of. For instance, yeah. They just, Nancy Pelosi They just went through and did all the whole audits and everything. She is the wealthiest member of all 435 congressional representatives. She's the wealthiest. I have no problem with that until I hear her talking about wealth equality. Okay, well, if you have a problem with wealth equality, then give it away. Give it away for crying out loud. But this is where you see this, and this is where the same thing with the Pharisees, that they are not willing to do those things. They wanted to impose all these things, but they did not want to be part of it. In Lamentations 1:14, the yoke of my transgressions have been bound by his hand. They have been intertwined themselves, have come upon my neck. It hath paralyzed my strength. My Lord hath delivered me into the hands of those against whom I cannot rise up. Okay, these are the yokes that are of the people that are put on, that are not the ones we want. In 1 Timothy 6:4, but they bind together heavy burdens and lay upon men's shoulders, whereas they with their finger are not willing to move them. Second yoke. Okay, and this is the serving. This is where we're looking for the other directions here. Lamentations 3:27, good it is for a man that he should bear the yoke in his youth. Okay, and this is wonderful because this is where you train them up, you raise a person up in their youth for early discipline, habits, and restraints, that they learn to do these things, that they learn to submit before it gets to the point where the other things can take over and the world can jump in. And so from the beginning of youth, that this is a good thing. It's a good thing to have that. Matthew 8:28, the ones we just read here, that we just went through again. Take my yoke upon you. Christ calling to take the yoke upon you, that he will give rest. Taking the yoke of Yahushua will give you rest. Okay, here's one of the other ones that I thought was kind of neat here. And this is the picture here of the double yoke that a lot of people think about with the two animals. One day a man went by to see a farmer who was plowing his field with a team of oxen. The man noticed that one of the animals was seemingly a little bigger than the other, so he asked him about it. The response from the farmer was very interesting. He said that the big animal is the older animal and that was well trained. The smaller one was a young animal that was new to the yoke. The man went on to inquire as to why he put them together. Well, you see, it's like this. The older ox is the best ox that I have ever had. He knows his way around the field. The reason I put the younger one with him is so that the older, more experienced ox could teach him how to plow. If I never put them together, the younger one would never learn. By himself, the younger ox would pull himself to death. But together, he learns to cooperate with the rest, to cooperate with and rest in the strength of the older ox. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly it. And so you see that where we have to do that as well, that we are being built up ourselves, and so that when we say, hey, Christ, a new believer, I want to yoke with you, Christ is going to have to kind of guide you. And if we're crying out loud, at some point you have to become to the point where you are now able to guide yourself as well, where you don't have to have somebody pulling you around by a ring nose, and you can say, hey, that's the whole purpose of teleos, is to get past those, to learn. Now this younger ox can take on another one eventually, and he can rear it and bring it to where it can do that as well. I think about that with Darby. Dot and I got Darby when we still had Pogi, because pugs are kind of hard to potty train. And having another pug, they go outside, they see what's happening, and they'll follow suit. And so it's the same way that we do that as well. And that we bring people, that we are looking out for our children, for our friends and everybody else, that we are yoking with them, saying, hey, sometimes it takes it to where one person's pulling a little bit more than the other to help guide and get them going. Do you feel like the ox who's pulling himself to death? Let's go to John 6:31. And so that's exactly what it is. And it's to the point to where when we come before Yahweh and we, you know, lay down all our supplications and we throw our burdens, you know, throw them out, that we come before, that we get this rest, and that Yahweh's calling, saying, hey, look, I will give you these things. I can do this for you. If you come to me, if you let my yoke be your yoke, he will lead you into righteousness. So if somebody would read that 6:31 through 35 for me, please.
Our fathers did eat the manna in the desert, just as it is written, bread out of heaven he gave them to eat. Yahushua said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, not Moses gave you the bread out of the heaven, but my Father giveth you the real bread out of heaven. For the bread of Elohim is that which is coming down out of heaven and giving life unto the world. They said therefore unto him, sir, evermore give us this bread. Yahushua said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh unto me in no wise shall hunger. And he that believeth on me in no wise shall thirst any more. But I told you, ye have seen me, or ye have even seen me, and ye do not believe.
Thank you. And that's it. So a lot of times people think, well, I didn't even know that I had the hunger. Well, the hunger's been built into us. It's in our nature that we have that. And so we're filling that, and we're with the yoke, one way or another, trying to find which way we want to go. And so that's why you see so many times where you see people who have what appears to be everything, and they're empty and spinning around in circles because they're going nowhere. Yeah. And it's also, you always have to think about it this way. With anybody that you are yoked with, are you the one that's slowing them down, or the one that is increasing them and building them up? And with every relationship, with every yoke, we have to, Kelly, Mom, how am I doing with that? Am I the weak one? Am I the one building up in all different areas? And where we can have that, and Yahweh can show us, hey, here's where you need to pick it up. This is where you need to be. But again, when it comes down to it, that we labor together, but we also rest. We have that rest where Yahweh calls us to tell us to separate, to break, to take that time away. And the one thing that I loved is with my parents when I was growing up, Mormon church, but they did keep the Sabbath day holy, what they call. So Sunday was the only day my dad did not work. And it wasn't because he didn't want to. He would have been out working, but he stopped and he took breaks. And I'm like going, thank goodness, because it was the only day that he sat down and relaxed. He would read. He would do the things that, you know, that he needed to do to catch back up, and it would re-energize him for the next coming week and for the following time. So the same thing for us. We do that. Yahweh says that he will take care of it. Christ will meet our hunger, meet our thirst, as long as we are coming before and laying on the yoke. So last one here. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. And it's going to start out on the very bottom of page 241. And I will read this. It's verses 1 through 11. All right. 241, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Elders, therefore, among you I exhort, I, who am their co-elder and a witness of the sufferings of the Christ, who also in the glory about to be revealed, have a share. Shepherd the beloved flock of Yahweh, which is among you, not by compulsion, but by choice. So in other words, when we're looking at this, that we shouldn't, you know, when we're putting on the yoke, we shouldn't be doing it being like, oh, for crying out loud, I'm so sick of this thing. I saw a funny thing when I was looking through the pictures on the internet on some of the things they had, that they had some pretty good graphics, and it was one of them that says, Yehoshua's workshop, and above it, he's like going, he's a carpenter, and he says, my yoke fits perfect. And I'm like going, that's exactly it. His yoke is perfect for every single person. Going back here to verse 2 again, shepherd the beloved flock of Yahweh, which is among you, not by compulsion, but by choice, nor yet for base gain, but for a ready mind, nor yet as lording it over the allotted portions, but becoming ensamples or examples to the beloved of flock. And when the chief shepherd is manifested, ye shall bear away the unfading crown of glory. Verse 5, in the like manner, ye younger men, submit yourselves unto elders. All, however, one towards another, gird on humility, because Yahweh against the haughty arrayeth himself, whereas unto the lowly he giveth favor. Verse 6, be made lowly, therefore, under the strong hand of Yahweh, that he may lift you up in due time, all of your anxiety casting upon him. And that is it. That's the whole point of it. Those things that hold us down or make us to where we feel that we need the rest or normally come from anxieties. All the things that we should be doing, that we need to be doing, that we feel weighted down upon us, cast them on, the anxieties cast upon him, because he careth for you. Be sober, be watchful. Your slanderous adversary is a roaring lion, is looking to fill the other spot of that yoke. Okay? That's where it is. It comes in. If you're not yoked correctly, you're going to be yoked incorrectly in every aspect. As a roaring lion is walking about seeking to devour, whom resisteth steadfast in your faith, knowing that the same sufferings in your brotherhood that is in the world are being accomplished. Howbeit, the Elohim of all favor, who hath called you unto his age-abiding glory in Christ, when for a little ye have suffered, himself will adjust, confirm, strengthen, verse 11, unto him be the dominion unto the ages, amen.
Wow.
And that's it. And so when we do these things, when we walk about and we decide we want to yoke ourselves with all our problems and all our anxieties and all the burdens we're carrying, guess what you're doing? You're carrying around dead weight. You got your neck all tilted to the side as you're dragging dead weight with you in the yoke. And he's like going, for Christ, hey, you want give me a tag. I'll fill the other side. I'll become the other yoke. I'll be the strong one to help push. No, I got it. I can do this. I can do this. And that's where we see that. I do that too. I'm like going, oh, for crying out loud. I gotta stop this. Yeah. This is madness and nonsense. And it's to get to the point where Yahweh show me where those are. All the yokes that I have in life, the things that I have done with, show me which ones that I need to strengthen myself, where I'm weak, and where that I am inaccurately yoked with something that I should not be.
Amen.
And that is all.
Amen.
Excellent. Okay. I'll go ahead and close here. Do I have a word? Yahweh, we just thank you for the opportunity tonight to sit down and learn your word and be able to go over to sing songs to you of praise, that we are just doing this throughout the entire week, that we are finding the times to separate ourselves, to come before you and turn off all the distractions, that we may hear from you, that we daily... We yoke ourselves with you, and we yoke ourselves with your Son, that we are able to pull correctly, to be able to bear the things that you put upon us, but not the burdens of our lives, and not the anxieties that we carry about, thinking that we're strong enough and that we're able to do this. And we thank you that you are able to take this. We thank you, Yehoshua, for you paying the price and carrying those burdens that they were all nailed to the cross with you. That as you paid for all this as a righteous man. You paid for all the sins that you were not guilty of, that we are able to cast these things out. So we cast these things aside, that we confess our sins before you, Yahweh, that through this we are able to be restored, that you are faithful and just to forgive us of these things. We thank you for that we do this continually, and that we learn to correct our walks, and that you show us where to go, how to manifest correctly, how to hear from you correctly, and to know the directions that you have for us, that we become more and more strong with this, and we exercise this every single day, all the moments that we are walking by your Spirit, that we have the witness that you give to us, and that your hand in guiding, that we are able to hear from you continually. We thank you for this, and for a great week. We just speak this all to your Son's name. And my children, I am calling you to come before me, that I may be able to be your guide, that I will be the lamppost amongst you, that is a lamppost is on a wall or is in the middle of a street that guides, but it only guides to those who come to that light. For those who shy away from it and walk away from it, it does not guide. But I call to you to walk in this light. Come to this light that I may be able to feed you. I have promised that I will feed you, that I will deliver you and take care of the hunger and the thirst within your life through the spiritual realm that I am able to deliver to you and give to you. So I have as reservoirs of things to pour out upon you, for what you fathom is completely different from what is available and what is there. I am ready to pour these out as a father who gives righteous gifts. I am ready to do these things. Call upon me that I may be able to do this, that I will enlighten you, that I will bring you to higher grounds.